Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Could Israel's leaders really face justice for some of the worst crimes committed in the 21st century? Now, there's increasing chatter that the International Criminal Court will issue arrest warrants for both Israel's leaders and Hamas leaders for war crimes. Now, some might find this just impossible to believe, given the level of impunity which Israel has long been given. But that impunity has been falling apart in real time for the last few months. Now, it's extremely clear that, first of all, Benjamin Netanyahu, the blood-soaked Prime Minister of Israel, believes that such an arrest warrant is imminent. On the 26th of April, he tweeted out, "Under my leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the ICC to undermine its inherent right of self-defense. The threat to Caesar soldiers and officials of the Middle East's only democracy in the world's only Jewish state is outrageous. We will not bow to it. Israel will continue to wage to victory our just war against genocidal terrorists, and we will never stop defending ourselves. While the ICC will not affect Israel's actions, it would set a dangerous precedent that threatens the soldiers and officials of all democracies fighting savage terrorism and wanton aggression." Now, if you want a concise distillation of these words, it's rattled, very rattled. The prospect of arrest warrants has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that Israel declares itself a Jewish state. And as for democracy, well, there is no democracy experienced by the Palestinians subjected to its brutal occupation. It has everything to do with the obscene crimes committed, of course, by the Israeli state. Now, in terms of what that means for other states, it just means that they are less likely to commit war crimes because they think there might be a response, regardless of whether they're a democracy or not, or they call themselves a democracy. Not relevant. Now, such is his desperation that he's retweeted a piece by the hard-right commentator Douglas Murray, headlined, "International Criminal Court's Vicious Smear Tactics Against America's Allies." This piece makes some pretty outrageous insinuations, I have to say, declaring about the court, not least because it is at least as open to corruption and politicisation as any other court in the world, as Khan may be about to show. What's the suggestion here, then? That if he doles out arrest warrants for war crimes to both Israeli leaders and Hamas, then that must mean corruption. What would the evidence be there for corruption, other than them doing something you don't like? You can't just point to a decision you don't like and say that's because of corruption, can you? What's the actual evidence? Now, this is a particularly desperate line of attack because the International Criminal Court has actually dragged its feet now for nearly 7 months as hideous crimes, as I've said, some of the worst of the 21st century, are committed on a daily basis. And indeed, the chief prosecutor, Karim Khan, the brother of a former Conservative MP, was nominated by a Conservative government, elected with the support of the US, and indeed, after becoming chief prosecutor, dropped the investigation into war crimes committed by US-led forces in Afghanistan, as well as an investigation into the US's use of secret CIA prisons to torture detainees in Poland, Romania and Lithuania. He of course, also rightly slapped Vladimir Putin and one of his allies with an arrest warrant for their crimes. Now, given what's rumoured is that he will also slap Hamas leaders with arrest warrants, not sure the whole pointing at everything which calls out war crimes and calling it Hamas is going to stick this time, guys. Now, according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, the Justice Ministry and army officers are working hard to prevent this from happening. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer, the United States and other Western countries are also striving to convince Khan to delay or prevent the issuing of warrants, but it's not clear that they're succeeding. Interesting that, isn't it? Just what's funny, given that Douglas Murray wrote in that article, because that sounds, what I just read, a lot more like politicisation and corruption to me. Various foreign powers trying to lean on the ICC to stop it doing what it believes is in the interests of justice. It's not corrupt, that, is it? Israeli leaders say they believe the warrants will be served sometime this week against Netanyahu, Defence Minister Yoav Gallant and the Chief of Staff of the Israeli Defence Forces, Herzl Halevi. Officials below them will be spared. Furthermore, it adds, if warrants are served, each ICC member state, there are around 123 is obligated to arrest and hand over the defendants of The Hague if they enter its territory. While there is no way to appeal an international arrest warrant, any country can theoretically tell the court that it is handling the case itself. It goes on to quote a former Israeli Deputy Attorney General who says that issuing arrest warrants could lead to, say, an arms embargo and economic sanctions, as well as placing Israel in the same category as countries that are considered transgressors against international law. Well, I mean, Israel is a serial transgressor against international law. But this really is a choice quote here. I mean, there are many in this article, to be honest. Some experts in international law say the Attorney General and army officers are partly to blame for not doing enough to prevent Israeli violations of international law. Whatever could have given that impression? Let's just hear what the former Israeli Chief Military Advocate General and Attorney General had to say at the start of this horror. He said, if you want to destroy Hamas, then you have to destroy Gaza, because everything in Gaza, almost every building there, is a stronghold of Hamas. Well, you see, if the current military law is anything like that guy, then I think there might be a problem there for Israel. If that's the advice, the sort of advice they're giving. What's the legal advice, boys? We're just going to, just destroy everything. Whatever, literally, whatever, yeah, every building. Do you see the problem? Yeah, so when you see in an article, military lawyers didn't do enough to stop, well, given one of the top military lawyers in the country just openly said we need to destroy every building in Gaza, it's a problem, isn't it? It is a problem. The problem actually is impunity has kind of sunk Israel here, because it's led to all these people saying things out loud on the basis they think they can get away with anything. But because so many of them said so many things out loud, combined with the fact that Israel went and did all the things they said they were going to do out loud, I mean, it's just like an open and shut massive crime and a series of many, many crimes. The article further goes on to quote Professor Eliav Liblik of Tel Aviv University, who says, belligerent statements by Israeli politicians have not helped the Israeli cause. One way of phrasing it, isn't it? I mean, to quote a viral tweet, well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. Two examples are actually given there. For example, Israel Katz, the foreign minister of Israel, demanded that the Gaza Strip's water supply be cut off because that's what murderers of children deserve. Just open collective punishment with a blatant genocidal implication. They're saying that we should cut off everyone's water supply. I think everyone is aware with, just aware of basic human biology, that you need water to live. On the basis that everyone receiving that water, because that's the entire civilian population, they're all child murderers. I mean, given 36 Israeli kids were killed on 7th of October, which incidentally is a terrible crime. Every single murder of every child is a terrible crime. It's unfortunate just saying that the entire population of Gaza are collectively responsible and need to be punished for 36 kids being killed, when if you include those buried under the rubble, there's pretty good evidence to suggest 20,000 Palestinian kids have been killed. And do you know what? I don't believe that as a consequence, we need to cut off the water supply of Israel, because I'm not a massive psychopath. Now, there have been so many examples of genocidal statements by Israel's leaders that I actually forgot the one I just quoted there. There were that many. Indeed, David Cameron, our foreign secretary, made it clear that Israel had deliberately turned off the water supply to northern Gaza, despite his obviously ignored hand-wringing about it. Another example they cite here is the Diaspora Affairs Minister, Amchai Chikli. He really is a delight, that one. I mean they're none of them are. He said that dropping a nuclear bomb on Gaza was an option because Israel must find ways to cause suffering in Gaza. Do you know what? I actually also forgot that one, because there's another minister who also called for nuclear bombs to be dropped from Gaza, and I didn't realise there was actually two of them. Now, let's be clear. Zvi Sigal, the Israeli-American Associate Professor of Genocide and Holocaust Studies, told me months ago, there have been so many examples of genocidal rhetoric since then. So we're talking about up to that point. He said, rarely has intent been so openly spoken by a state. Normally, you see, the point he's making is they go to great lengths to cover up what they want to do. For good reason. They fear the consequences. It's just Israel was granted impunity, which clearly has backfired. So it believes, quite rationally, up to this point, it can behave how it wishes, which is one of the many reasons we are in this terrible horror show in the first place. They realised, or thought to themselves, we can do what we want. We can do what we want. No one's going to stop us. Let's just talk about the next paragraph in this Haaretz article and just why it's just kind of, I mean, I don't even know where to start with this. So Liblik said that such statements tie in the international discourse with the widespread destruction of the ground to claim that Israel intentionally harmed civilians. He notes that such statements played a key role in the lawsuit of the International Court of Justice. What's he saying here then? What's he saying here? What? He's saying that maybe Israeli leaders declaring over and over and over again that they want the total destruction of Gaza and believe in the collective guilt of the entire Palestinian population and often just publicly relish sadistically their suffering. Do you think that might be relevant to what the Israeli state actually went and did? That is the sound of pennies dropping. A little late in the day, has to be said. I think he might be onto something, this guy. I can see why he's a professor. This is known, what he's talking about is intent, you see. Now, it's very basic concept. I'm sure a professor understands this, but clearly some things just have to be explained. So what happened is the Israeli state, via its cabinet, military war cabinet, various politicians, soldiers, generals, army officers. What they did is they declared their intent from the very start. So in order to work out what Israel was going to go and do, you just had to just listen to what they said. And they said these things, their intent, over and over and over again, with blood-curdling honesty. And indeed, as I've said, what they said they were going to do is what they went and did. Now, let's just flesh this out a little bit in case... You know, because it seems like at the moment what's happening is Israeli leaders and what they said and did is colliding brutally with reality. And they're probably finding that a little bit disorientating because they really are used to getting away with anything. Now, for example, if someone says, I'm going to torture someone and chop up their body and throw the remains into a lake, and then they go and torture somebody and then they chop up their body and they throw their remains into a lake, what they said they were going to do would indeed be a crucial element of the court case against them. I mean, it's weird that has to be spelled out, but they did it to themselves, didn't they? They did it to themselves. Well, they didn't. They slaughtered a huge number of Palestinians, and now they're finally panicking because they might actually have to face some consequences. Now, I'll just give you an example. Yoav Gallant, defence minister, on the 9th of October declared Israel was imposing a complete siege on Gaza. No electricity, no food, no water, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals and we are acting accordingly. Now, I remember here because some people went, he meant Hamas were the human animals. I mean, just park the fact that Israeli leaders repeatedly made clear they see no demarcation between Hamas and Gaza civilians. After all, Isaac Herzog, the president, declared it's an entire nation out there that's responsible. It's not true, this rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true, and we will fight until we break their backbone. Let's just park that for a minute. It doesn't make any sense in the context of what Gallant said, because it means cutting off all the essentials of life to a civilian population. You will note you can't survive without the things he listed. And indeed, to drive that home, on the 9th of October, the Israeli army coordinator of government activities in the territory, Major General Ghassan Alian, actually just made clear what was meant by human animals. Because what he said is, Hamas became ISIS and the citizens of Gaza are celebrating instead of being horrified. Human animals are dealt with accordingly. Israel has imposed a total blockade on Gaza. No electricity, no water, no damage. You wanted hell, you will get help. Do you see the problem here?
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You see the problem, guys. You see, what happened there is he just went and explained that they don't see any demarcation between civilians and Hamas. They regard civilians as human animals. They're imposing a total blockade with all the basics of life being stopped, and that they were going to cause total devastation, and that the civilians were going to get hell. There's no real room for ambiguity there, is there? You see, the mistake made, I would say, by Israeli leaders at this point is what they did is they publicly declared they were going to commit hideous war crimes on an industrial scale, which they then went and did. And what's also open and shut about this, to be honest, I mean, everything is the 1948 Genocide Convention prohibits the public incitement of genocide. Israel itself signed that into law in 1950. The International Court of Justice and its provisional orders ordered Israel to prosecute those engaging in genocidal incitement. It hasn't done so. The Haaretz article notes that the Attorney General, Gali Baharav Meira, her refusal to investigate dozens of cases... Dozens is being pretty generous there. Dozens of cases of suspected incitement to Israel, even after the ICJ's orders forced the ICC to act. She was legally obliged. Let's be clear. She was legally obliged to prosecute these people. Under Israeli law, incitement to genocide carries the death penalty. I don't support the death penalty under these circumstances. I think these people should be locked away for the rest of their lives. Don't get me wrong, but I don't believe in the death penalty. But that's it. I'm just saying what Israeli law is. They've defied international law and their own laws here. That's why the ICC has to act. Indeed, just on Yoav Gallant's statements, and this is crucial because it is believed that the deliberate starvation of the Palestinian people is a very important plank of all of this in terms of what is possible in terms of the arrest warrants. His statement that Israel very clearly did cut off the basics of life, as well as destroying agriculture and domestic food production in Gaza, destroying roads and infrastructure, which allowed aid truck to get around, conducting the biggest slaughter of aid workers in recorded history, waging war against UNRWA, Gaza's main humanitarian agency, based on unevidenced smear, specifically blocking aid to reaching northern Gaza, the worst affected. We could go on. As David Cameron, UK Foreign Secretary, noted, Israel has deliberately thrown up multiple obstacles to block and delay even limited aid getting into Gaza. And in a letter which led, which led to Ilan Levy, the Israeli spokesperson, being fired. The result of this, a famine. Now, the Haaretz article gets better and better. Professor Lieblick there from Tel Aviv University, let's keep quoting this guy, he goes on to note the sense that the high command does not fully control the forces on the ground. He says, almost every day, videos are surfacing online where soldiers are documenting improper conduct. This leads to distrust in official statements about the IDF acting in accordance with the laws of combat. Yeah, I'm not going to let you get away with that one, Professor. That level of... contrived naivety. On the 10th of October, Yoav Gallant, defence minister in charge of the soldiers he's talking about, specifically told those soldiers on Gaza's border, he said he had released all the restraints on them, adding, you'd think that's kind of enough, but in case anyone was scratching their heads thinking, what does that mean? Well, he added to that, Gaza won't return to what it was before. We will eliminate everything. If it doesn't take one day, it will take a week. It will take weeks or even months. We will reach all places. Eliminate everything. Release all the restraints. 2 days later, he told again, he declared publicly that he had removed every restriction on Israeli forces. Well, how's that going to be interpreted by troops then, is it? Just be clear about this. These very angry troops have been whipped up to impose vengeance on human animals. All restrictions and all restraints lifted on them. I think most people would understand that as do what the hell you like. If the Russian Minister of Defense has said this, we wouldn't even have to debate this. Indeed, given IDF soldiers are indeed posting their war crimes, as noted, and boasting about their war crimes, as noted, all over social media, why not just discipline them? It's not like the IDF hasn't sent soldiers to prison before. In fact, they did join this horror. If people think they're just a soft touch. Guess what it was for? Go on, have a guess. Why were these soldiers sent to prison? Killing children? Destroying civilian infrastructure? Torture? Nope. Two soldiers were sentenced to 20 days in prison. Guess what their crime was? Making hot dogs. Hot dogs and Shabbat. That's what they were sent to prison for. Not like they can't discipline soldiers when they really want to. Now, here's another amazing paragraph. Doreen Lustig, an assistant professor at Tel Aviv University, notes that the shooting at aid convoys, the destruction of hospital and university buildings, and especially the killing of World Central aid workers, have worked against Israel. The framing here is really quite extraordinary. Israel committing terrible war crimes has worked against Israel. Yeah, I'd imagine that would happen. Israel's case that it isn't committing war crimes has been undermined by Israel committing war crimes. Yeah, that's true. I can't argue that logic. The facts really are just extraordinarily clear. You see, what Israel leaders did is they promised they would commit terrible crimes. What they then did is go on to commit. the terrible crimes they promised, and indeed they continue to commit the terrible crimes that they promised, including Benjamin Netanyahu himself, who quite deliberately twice invoked the story of Amalek in the Bible, once specifically in a letter to soldiers, in which the Israelites were commanded to respond to an attack by the Amalek nation by killing all men, women, children, babies, and livestock. Israel has devastated most of the civilian infrastructure of Gaza. It has destroyed its healthcare system. It has destroyed its means of producing its own food. It has besieged the essentials of life. It has forcibly displaced the vast majority of its population. It has, according to multiple reports, engaged in torture and indeed sexual abuse and rape. It has violently slaughtered tens of thousands of people, mostly women and children. It has slaughtered aid workers. It has slaughtered journalists and has often slaughtered them alongside their entire families. And the crimes could just go on and on and on in terms of listing them. It has done so openly, without shame, for the whole world to see. In fact, it's ludicrous, frankly, and shows what an absurd world we're in, that we even have to debate whether the ICC should be issuing arrest warrants, which they should have done a long time ago. This, my friends, is an open and shut case. If this isn't a litany of grotesque and undeniable war crimes, then there is no such thing as a war crime. And the consequences of publicly declaring that, which is what the ICC would do if the ICC would do if it doesn't issue these arrest warrants, is to further destabilise an already increasingly violent, unstable world. You see, impunity imposed on Israel has had catastrophic impacts for the West, because the West has an ill-deserved moral authority, which most of the world does not take seriously. But my God, how does the world now look at these claims by the West after they facilitated crime after crime after crime in full public view? Indeed, a brilliant piece by Amos Goldberg, who is a Holocaust and genocide researcher at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, answers the repeated nonsense defence of Israel's leaders and their apologists. The claim is it can't be genocide. That is often made by Israel's leaders because this is self-defence. Now, forget a minute the erasure of decades of what the Palestinians have been subjected to. Ethnic cleansing, occupation, siege, apartheid, repeated mass slaughters, of course, torture, land theft and colonisation, we could go on. Park the fact that legally self-defence applies to being attacked by another state, which under international law, Gaza was still legally termed as being under Israeli occupation when Hamas and other armed groups committed undeniable atrocities on the 7th of October. The point made by Goldberg is many genocides have been framed by the perpetrators as self-defence. You see, education about the history of genocides has led to widespread ignorance about genocide. So the Holocaust becomes the sole reference point for most people. But you see, when it comes to genocide, the Holocaust is actually an outlier as an industrialised attempt to exterminate an entirely defenceless civilian population. I mean, it is an outlier very much in that sense. And he references the work of Israeli journalist Yuval Abraham based on briefings by Israeli military intelligence sources about the use of artificial intelligence services to select targets and carry out assassinations, writing, "The fact that the military allowed, for example, the killing of 300 innocent people and the destruction of an entire residential quarter in order to take out one Hamas brigade commander shows that military targets are almost incidental targets for killing civilians and that every Palestinian in Gaza is a target for killing. This is the logic of genocide." And he references some other key examples, like Bosnia, where the Bosnian Serbs had suffered genocide in World War II, which they used to justify claims of feeling threatened. And they suffered atrocities, thousands actually, of Bosnian Serb civilians were killed. That did not mean the Bosnian Serb army did not commit genocide. Or indeed Rwanda, with its minority Tutsi population, which once, that's where its rulers were drawn from until it was displaced, allowing Hutu majority rule. And the Tutsis then suffered oppression, discrimination, driven from their land in many cases. And a Tutsi army in 1990 invaded Rwanda from Uganda. And guess what? They committed many atrocities. They killed people and they actually raped people. That's documented. Now, Hutu extremists claimed the Tutsi were going to commit genocide against them. It was kill them or be killed. That's what they said. And the Tutsi forces continued over the next 4 years to commit terrible atrocities, including during the genocide itself. He writes, as a result, in the eyes of the Hutu regime, the Tutsi became collectively identified with an actual military enemy. There was a parallel there. But the Hutu extremists did commit genocide. Self-defense wasn't an excuse. This was one of the great crimes of our age. So to end, right now Western states are doing everything they can to pressure the ICC to stop justice from happening. That's an outrage. This is one of the great crimes of our age. And we've got to have justice. Obviously. Because otherwise these evils will just multiply and we'll be stuck in a doom loop of death and destruction. And by the way, it's absolutely right, Hamas leaders are also tried for war crimes, which they did commit, for which there is no justification, none whatsoever. The point is that Israel's war crimes are far graver, far bigger, and were armed and backed by the West and legitimised by Western media outlets. So it's not just Israeli leaders who should be feeling pretty nervous right now. We've got to hold to account the Western leaders and Western media outlets which made this atrocity possible. That's why these Western leaders are trying to stop this from happening, because they know this implicates them. And if the ICC issues these arrest warrants, and it is an absurd disgrace if they do not, then everyone who made this horrendous atrocity possible must be held to account. Please like and subscribe. Do share your comments. Do share your thoughts. You can listen to us on podcast and help us take on the pro-war media at patreon.com/ownjoes84. Let's keep our fingers crossed for ICC arrest warrants this week. I'll speak to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.